Go Loud.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence, see fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fess Up with me, Nikki Dwar.
And me, Liz Dwar.
Special thanks to our sponsors, the Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie. So Liz.
Yeah.
We have a very interesting pod today.
Well, we think it's interesting. Well, else might.
I think it is interesting. I think it's like probably the most buzzy, I don't know if it's the most buzzy word at the moment, but like it's been knocking around for a long time. We're going to have it. This is our Ozempic special.
This is our Ozempic special. And we're not going to have a guest in today because we have, look, we've been talking about Ozempic for 3 years, four maybe now.
Four years.
For our Future Beauty Show in 2020, we had Ozempic experts up on the stage talking about it.
Yeah.
We've been, you know, interviewing doctors, scientists, everything for 4 years. So I feel like we've been talking about this till...
We were ahead of the curve like we are most things, yeah. To be fair.
However, I mean, it is like the most topical, you know, conversation in like certainly in pharma and in health at the moment. So, and recently you've been talking about it again, obviously with all the fake Ozempic going around, and we just keep getting so many questions in on the DMs about Ozempic and our Ozempic experiences. We said, right, let's just do an entire episode
on Ozempic
basically, as well as our usual bits and pieces. So we will come back to our very different polar experiences of Ozempic in a few minutes. So let's crack on with our Celeb Watch of the week.
Okay. Oh yeah. This one was actually sent to us by our producer who's like, I mean, even he was like, oh my God.
What's happened? Oh, I know.
So.
I know. Like, okay, first of all, it's...
Hang on, is it Venus or Serena? I always forget.
Serena.
I confuse the two of them. Yeah, Serena, yeah. Serena Williams.
Definitely Serena, right? Yeah, it is Serena. Okay, so Serena...
Has had a glow up. Is it a glow up?
I don't know if glow up is the right word. She certainly had something up in her face.
A lot of things.
But like now, to be fair, this would not be her first foray into aesthetics. She's definitely had her lips done originally, and she's definitely had a rhinoplasty.
100%. But it looks like she's gone mad on the...
She's gone bananas on the filler.
Filler.
Like, you know...
Puffy face.
And her eyes...
All the cash. You think she'd have access to a decent injector.
Well, see... Herein is the thing. It's not about cash. It's about the injector, and also it's about the patient.
Yeah, like typically cash buys you access to the best injectors.
You know, but then the injector has to say no, right? So that's half the problem. Like if you're a patient coming in saying, I think celebrities, like they're obviously looking at themselves on giant screens all the time, right? And they're looking at every flaw we think we have. They have that amplified by a bazillion. Imagine going down like New York and Fifth Avenue and seeing yourself on this like giant Times Square billboard and your big giant nose is like 80 foot across
the thing. Big fucking self. Listen.
Not you, I'm saying.
This is coming from your woman who could smell in the shower with her nose that big.
If you're a celebrity, I remember years ago I used to do expose and I couldn't watch myself on the screen, and that was on like a 30 inch screen, you know. I was like, my flaws were so amplified, you know, in my mind. So I always thought if you were a big celeb, obviously on cinema and so forth, how that would wreck your head. Anyway, back to Serena.
Actually, I do feel like the Venus sisters they've had terrible abuse over the years about how they look.
Yeah.
And
they're not the Venus sisters, they're the Williams sisters.
Sorry, the Williams sisters. Like they've had terrible flack over the years about how they look, and no other male athlete at that level is getting trolled.
But then are we not part of the problem? Here's us talking about her filler being terrible. Yeah, so we are. But look, can we just come back to the case?
Can we park that feminist chat and get back to being anti-feminist?
She's gone suffragists with
everywhere rolling in their graves. Go on.
She has gone batshit with filler, and she looks like a chipmunk, right? So someone needs to dissolve that ASAP, and or else maybe she just stepped out a week after having it done, or maybe she had a load of CO2 laser or something. Yeah,
no, she's gone mad.
Does look very enhanced and bad.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, okay. So that is our Celeb Watch of the week. Okay, and now we have our weekly rate bowl section where we rate various cosmetic treatments and see if they're worthwhile.
You can hear it in the
background.
Ed,
shaking our rate bowl here.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Here we go. And out of this, I am taking, and it's telling me and showing me, BBL.
Okay.
Brazilian butt lift.
Brazilian butt lift. Okay, there's two forms of this, surgical and non-surgical.
But I think the thing that causes all the controversy and the thing we should probably discuss is the filler, basically. It's basically butt filler. People are injecting volumes of a version of filler into their asses.
Or you can get a surgical BBL where you put an implant into your butt to lift the butt, make it higher and
well, it doesn't lift
round.
The butt, it just is an implant, the same way an implant in a boob is an implant. And like, I mean, if you need to get the lift and all the other things, that's a separate procedure, but part of the same thing.
I mean, I don't even know where to be. I mean, obviously, like, it's everyone's, you know, aesthetic preferences are different and they look lovely or whatever, but BBLs sag, right? Whether you get it injected or whether you get it an implant, right? So, I mean, in Ireland, I'd say much more people are going for the injection rather than the implant. It's very much...
I don't know anybody in Ireland, any of the surgeons doing...
I was talking to a surgeon about the other day and it was absolutely hysterical. She was saying that people are coming into her with the sag, right? So what's happening is they've had the butt lift done, right? And then here we are 2 years later and they've sagged, okay? So the injections generally... reabsorb in, or they go squishy or whatever. Like, this is the
problem.
Or
they go angular or lumpy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Or they encapsulate, but not all of them. Obviously, this is just the problematic side of things. But the actual, she was saying the funniest thing, right? She was like, the implants start sagging, right? But even if they don't start, she said she had a patient in and the patient had a problem with farting. Okay. She was said, instead of like, this was her problem. I'm not joking. Yeah. She said she had the BBL. The implants dropped and she wasn't farting outwards, she was farting forwards. So,
oh my God.
So when she was farting, the wind was like basically going
being
into her.
Pushed forward.
It was forward. So she was like farting out of her vagina.
But not an actual fanny fart.
But not an actual fanny fart, yeah. So it was her problem. So there's a problem. People probably.
Ed is looking horrified. He's like, I thought I'd heard it all, but Lula.
But now you fart forwards.
I've never heard it all with you two. There's always something else.
Anyway, so that's
farting forward. You heard it here first.
That was one of the problems with BBLs. But apart from that serious issue, there is loads of other problems with BBLs. A, actually, as a surgical procedure, it's quite dangerous because people have to be under for quite a long time.
In America, it is the highest risk
plastic surgery. Yeah.
And in South America, where they're absolutely mad for it, it's the number one surgery that leads to, or sorry, it's the what's the word I'm looking for? I think I'm menopause. I can't actually find words anymore. It causes the most deaths from plastic surgery.
Now, are you just making that up or is that actually a fact?
No, I read about it the other day. Like, it's actually horrifying.
Okay. Anyway.
I think it's a very complicated surgery. Like, you have a lot of things going on down there. And also, it's a massive area. And the recovery, I think, is the real problem because you obviously have to recover lying down.
Yes.
And you can't be sitting on your ass, literally.
So let's talk about the injectable version. Okay, so that's the surgical version. The injection version also has, it seems like a lovely
super
fix.
High risk.
Yeah, also the biggest problem with injecting your butt is, as you just said, you sit in it, right?
But also
you're going to squish
volume,
that filler
the
down.
Volume of it you need.
Yeah.
Like if you think about how much filler you need to do a surgical nose job.
Yeah.
You're talking about a couple of mils, right?
It depends, yeah.
And a high enough cost. If you think about how much you're going to need to fill an ass cheek, let alone two ass
cheeks.
Yes,
but a lot of women I know who've had it done are not going to get done to fill their ass cheek.
They're getting rid of dips.
They're getting rid of dips, And actually, from that point of view, it actually seems to work very well. So I know, like, a friend of mine she thinks she has really bad cellulite. I don't think it's that bad, but it was upsetting her. So she went in and she got it done.
And it's kind of helped.
The orange peel. So her bum doesn't look a different shape at all, okay? And it doesn't look like she's a Kardashian or anything. It just, her skin looks a lot smoother and a lot more, you know, she's got much more confidence from it. And she had it on her kind of the fold area as well. So it definitely does look better. She was like, now I'm addicted to this. This is going to be a couple of K every year to get done or every 2 years to get done. And she was like, I don't know how it's going to reabsorb in a year or two. So it'll be interesting to see it. So I think from that point of view, it's called La Luma. A lot of clinics won't do it. And again, if you are going to do it, make sure you get a qualified medical professional. This is not something to be done.
I'd nearly be going to a plastic surgeon for it.
a lot of plastics won't touch it. But then again, a lot of plastics, what they might do is they will use it in conjunction with other, like they might do a surgical treatment and then kind of use that to smooth over the top surface. So, I mean, look, in...
Also, can I just say, I just think...
Are we rating it or not?
Yes. I don't rate it.
Okay. I would rate it for smoothing the skin and like maybe evening out a bit of cellulite, but as a lifting type
also
thing.
Like, I mean, culturally we're in a kind of a different place, like, and it's not as cool here. Like in America it's all about having the big butt and the big ass, so I mean culturally it doesn't really, it hasn't got the same jam here, you know what I mean? And so I think there's that, and then also like
the cost
of bananas, and then the third thing
we're talking a couple of cake,
probably the most important thing is in 2 years time nobody's going to want a big ass. Sorry, we're already there. We're already there. Nobody wants a big ass anymore.
I don't know. People will always want a big ass. There's something very
Hang on. We spent our entire 90s going, all I want to do is look androgynous like a boy, like Kate Moss, and not have any curves at all. Yeah. And then next minute, we all want to look like, you know, Kardashians. Next, we'll all want to look sporty and athletic. Next, it's just a fucking other phase. Next.
Okay. And on that note.
Next.
Okay, so instead of our interview this week, we are interviewing each other, actually.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. So, right.
We have a confession.
We have a confession to make.
This is our very own facet.
This is our actual, like, this is my actual, I haven't told, the only person in the world who knows about this is you. I haven't told my partner.
Well, I'm fucking,
I haven't told
about you, but anyway.
Anybody about this. But, so, Nikki, you've been on, openly been on Ozempic for how long?
About a year and a half now.
Is that it? Okay. And you've been on prime time. You've been on every radio station. You haven't stopped talking about it. In fact, like, I'm surprised Novo Nordisk haven't come and given you a check for being there.
Should give me a check. Novo Nordisk, if you're listening.
Yeah.
I am definitely up for being your ambassador.
Oh, yeah, you are now. And then when you're dead in 10 years time and I'll be suing them. So, yeah. Thanks very much. As always happens with these pharmas. Anyway, so Nikki's been on the Ozempic and we're going to talk about her journey in a few minutes for actual medical reasons and for health reasons and for
proper weight loss.
So I have been listening to you talk about Ozempic for forever. And also, I am a journalist originally and I'm always been really
curious. I love that. Can I just caveat all this? Is listen to how she is about to justify what she is about to say. Keep going, Liz.
Okay. So basically, I don't need to be on the Ozempic, but I went on Ozempic. Right.
By the way, you don't need to go on Ozempic. How heavy are you?
Right now?
Just
in 11 stone this morning.
11 stone.
Yeah.
So you're 11 stone. How tall are you?
5'9".
Do you know what your BMI is?
No. Normal. I'm normal. I'm just normal, basically. Mm. Anyways, we're in Dubai. We interview this celebrity housewife one and she was saying to me, she was like, oh, we were talking about losing weight. She was like, it's impossible when you're in perimenopause. And I'm like, absolutely it is. All my usual tricks weren't working. Not loads of weight, just those, you know, those 5 pounds, those 7 pounds that are doing your head in when you want to go on holidays, if you've got a big event, whatever. And she was like, just go on the Ozempic. And I was like, oh, we can't get it in Ireland. It's impossible. You can't get it. She was like, walk into any chemist here and they will give it to you.
And deliver it to your hotel.
And deliver it to your hotel. So I was like, I don't really believe you. And so literally, first thing we do is we rock into a pharmacy in Dubai after this conversation. You went to check because you wanted to see how much it cost in Dubai, because you were like, maybe it's cheaper in Dubai. And then your mom was like, it's not. And he was like, oh, I'll send it to your hotel. And we were like, we don't have a prescription. He was like, what hotel are you in? He didn't care less.
No.
So I was like, I'm getting the Ozempic. So we got the Ozempic sent to the hotel.
The first up is Liz.
Liz took Ozempic unnecessarily out of journalistic curiosity. Listen, I've been a human guinea pig for 20 years testing aesthetic treatments. No one has a problem with testing aesthetic treatments and being first in line for boob jobs.
I would just like to say for the record that Liz Dwyer is part of the problem.
I am part of the problem. So I just wanted to see what would happen. I'm curious. I'm a curious person. I also wanted to do
You didn't want to see what would happen. You were mad to get into a bikini. Let's call a spade a spade. Right, you were mad to get into a bikini and lose 3 pounds that you struggle with for 100 years.
Yes. Okay. And I know it's the worst thing to do. I shouldn't have done it.
And how many times did I tell you not to do it?
Like a million times.
And how many times did you listen to me?
Zero. I never listened to you. Anyway, so I went on it and my experience was, oh my God, off the charts. I lasted 6 weeks and... it worked. Absolutely did it work. But
how much weight did you lose in 6 weeks?
I lost the 7 pounds that I wanted to lose. That was exactly what I wanted to lose. I wanted to lose 7 pounds. I wanted to lose half a stone. And I've struggled to lose that half stone for the last 5 years. I've really struggled. I've tried fecking everything. I even did body slims earlier in the year and I was walking up and down fecking gale force winds trying to do my walks. Didn't work. Anyway, I went on the Ozempic and I basically had a lobotomy. like it completely changed my personality. Like it didn't just change my stomach or my brain. I honestly had a personality transplant and it was really scary. So let's talk about your experience and then we'll come back to mine. It, for me, it worked, but like, holy crap. I don't think it was worth giving up my personality for. It was like I signed a deal with the devil.
Why? Explain that. What does that mean?
Okay, so I started taking it during the summer after we came back. First week, remember, first day, I was like, Jesus, I can feel this. I don't know if that was psychosomatic. I could feel it. I could feel the impacts. Day two, I was like, I started feeling the tiredness. It was the absolute, like, the major thing that happened to me, it was like being pregnant, okay? I felt everything was like being pregnant again. It was like serious tiredness, just this absolute zombie exhaustion kind of going around. Like I battled through it. I just kept drinking coffee and...
get all your top health tips here. Yeah. Liz Twired.
I know.
Nikki's like, drugs and drink coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Nikki was like, if you're going to do it, you have to do it the right way. Get all your nutrition, drink loads of water, go to the gym, do strength training. And I was like, yeah, fuck that. I'm just going to drink loads of coffee and hope for the best. So I know. Okay, this is like, I'm probably going to get sued for this. But anyways, this is the honest experience. So... took the so first few days, it's the wooziness. Jesus, it was like morning sickness all over again. Very woozy. I'm completely confused. I had no hunger. So that was really weird for me because I'm always, always hungry. So my whole day is controlled by hunger. Like I wake up and I'm like, I'm starving, I need breakfast. Like 11 o'clock, I'm starving, I need lunch. I spend my whole day thinking about the hunger. I don't have the same relationship with food as you. Food, I don't really get huge pleasure out of. It just fills the hole and I can get on with my day. So I feed to fuel, you know. I don't get comfort from food. I don't comfort eat. I'm pretty good with my diet. I don't snack. My biggest problem is wine, which also brings me to the Ozempic and the wine. Oh my God. Battery acid. I was like, why would I drink this normally? Again, it was like being pregnant. I was like looking at the glass of wine, getting ready, you know, sitting down, couch, blah, 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 8 o'clock, kids are fed, everyone's sorted. Look at the wine. I'm like, ugh, what is this? It's like, I was like, what's wrong with me? Why would I drink this stuff on a normal basis? Hated wine. And then I'd be sitting there going, now what am I going to do with myself for the night? You know, I was out now. So the mad things happened. First of all, I hated wine. I had no cues to eat, so I didn't really know what to do with my day. And then I kind of go, oh, I probably should eat something now. I'd forget to eat. Headaches, off the charts headache. And then I realized you'd be like, you're dehydrated. So I drink a couple of bottles of water and I'm like, okay, so that sorted that out. I didn't want to be around anybody. That was my other really weird thing. I think, I don't know if that's
me all the time.
Yeah. Maybe. I really didn't want to be around anybody. Like, I had loads of energy in the morning. I'm like, let's go. I'm like raring to go. And then 5 o'clock, I was like, that's it. I'm done with my day. I don't want to be around anybody. And I obviously don't want to eat. I just want to go home and be quiet on my own. So, and when I was out with people, I was kind of irritated. I was like, you're really annoying. Do you know, like when you're not drinking at a party and everyone's getting locked and they're at that really annoying stage and they're on repeat? It felt like that at 5 o'clock in the evening when people weren't even drinking. I was like, right, you're all annoying me. So, and I'm normally super social person, super social person. You know, I thrive on other people. I thrive on interaction. I thrive on chats. And I just was like, I hate this. I don't like you. Just go away to everybody. And I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell Julian what I was doing. I was like, I'm just going to be quiet and, you know, just have a nice quiet time to myself. So, I was still hungry. They didn't knock the hunger off me entirely. But again, I'd have a little bit and then I'd be like, yeah, that's it, grand, bored. But I was bored. I was so bored.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, I was so bored. Didn't want to hang out with anybody.
What you said earlier doesn't ring true though then, that you don't get any pleasure out of food or you don't enjoy
it. Maybe I do get more pleasure than I think. So
like every time I speak to you, you're out for dinner or lunch or you're out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, your life is very much punctuated by...
I think it's like I like being out. It's not that I'm going out for food. I'd be happily go out and just be out. You know, I don't
get bored.
Yeah, I was just so bored. And I was like, this is, and the headaches and the tiredness, I slept.
And any other side effects? Constipation? Diarrhea?
My tummy was a bit weird, but I always kind of have a bit of a weird tummy anyway. So I didn't know if that was that or not. Anyway, lost the weight, hit the 6 week mark, and then was going away. And I was like going, I don't want to bring this. I would like to have my personality back for my holidays. Thanks very much. So
we're kind of enjoying the dumbed down version of this.
Anyway, and then in my head, I was like, I'm going to go back on it when I come back to continue this experiment. But I also kind of hit the mark. I was like, if I got to the half stone mark, I'd be happy and I'd leave it at that. And I went to my holidays, got to the half stone mark, got my personality back. And
did you have any experience of coming off it?
No. I just started noticing, I started liking wine again. And I started liking food again. And I started liking humans. And I started liking going out again. And I wasn't as tired.
And do have you regained the weight?
No. Yeah.
So it's reset you back to where you wanted to go.
Yeah. And when, by the way, when I was on holidays, I was eating like, you know, proper holiday food.
Eating all around you.
Yeah. So, and drinking all around me. So it was like, you know, it does, like they do say it is like a reset, like factory resettings back to your...
Would you do it again?
You know, I know I should say no. I know I should say no. But if I had a holiday coming up or a wedding or something I had to lose half a stone for, I would suck it up and do it. I know I'm the worst.
So you're literally the reason
I know
why there is such polarizing opinions. Because you're the one who... I am
the bad cop in this
relationship. You're the bad cop in this relationship, yeah.
And like, I didn't get it from Ireland, so I didn't take away from someone's supply. They seem to have no problem...
It's a global supply issue, just FYI. So yeah, but get off
everyone...
That.
What is
horse.
It? Yes. But they had no problem giving it to me in Dubai. And they were like, do you want... They actually was like, do you want Ozempic, Mounjaro, Saxenda? Which one do you want? Like, it wasn't like in Ireland...
Here's a menu of GLP-1s.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my experience. It was horrible. It worked. I did it for 6 weeks. I know it's wrong.
And you do it again.
And I would do it again. I'm sorry to the HPRA. I'm sorry to everybody. And I know everyone's going to be cancelling me now, but that is my truth.
Liz Dwyer, cancelled. Over and out.
And now let's get on to the honest version.
That's not the honest version. I suppose it's just...
Nikki can get up on her high horse now and be like, well, yeah, I'm
going to nosebleed up
right
here. I'm going to nosebleed up here. Look, my experience of it is totally different. What I think is fascinating about you and I is people... We are sisters, for people who don't know that, but we're sisters. We grew up in the same house.
Mm.
So we have the same socioeconomic background.
Yeah.
We have the same education.
Yeah.
We have the same family.
Yeah.
We were fed the same food, yet I have an entirely different relationship to food and an entirely different experience of
food. Body type.
And body type, yeah. So I would say that I have struggled with food for pretty much my whole life. And I kind of now can nearly pinpoint when it all started. I was
can you?
Yeah. I was 11 years of age.
Oh,
it was
Jesus.
My birthday.
Okay.
Mum brought me to our GP.
Yeah.
And because I had fallen arches in my feet. And she wanted me to get those things, you know, the things for your feet.
Oh, yeah.
And our GP said to me that I was too heavy for my feet and I needed to go on a diet.
And you were 11?
I was 11 years of age.
You prescribed penicillin.
So he put me on a diet. And I remember, he put me on a diet. I remember it was my 11th birthday. And I always remember I wasn't allowed to have birthday cake that day. But I do remember Nikki. Going, yeah, it wasn't a birthday cake, but I remember eating packet of what I thought was healthy at the time. This is like how it all started, right? A whole packet of yogurt covered raisins and peanuts.
Okay.
This has all come back to me recently, and because I'm trying to understand where it all came from or whatever else. But that was the start, my first diet, 11.
Okay. Let's cut to the Ozempic.
And
you went on Ozempic 2 years.
Three babies.
Three?
You only had two babies in 3 years.
Did you have another baby?
Jesus.
Surprise!
Jesus. Two babies in 3 years. And I mean, I had loads of medical issues. I had thyroid problems. I had hyperemesis. I literally, at one stage, ballooned 3 stone in 6 weeks and then vomited so badly that I lost... It was like an outrageous amount of weight, then gained loads of weight. Anyway, so my whole body's been up and down like a yo-yo for 3 years. And I don't think I've been known where I'm coming or going. Anyhow, after my second baby, 20 months ago, I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm massive.
You were like, can I say it?
Go on.
No, I'm not allowed to say it, am I?
Go on with your fat shaming, body shaming for a new mother. Go on, go on, go on.
I'm not going to say
this where I was actually going to be cancelled. Anyhow, I was massive. I was actually huge. And I just was, I mean, I was postpartum and I had like thyroid problems and la, la, la. Anyway, I back to the gym, back on the diets, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, this fucking merry-go-round. Like, and back weighing myself every day, back beating the shit out of myself about food, back, you know, the self-flagellation when you fail or you ate something #bad. And I was like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this for another 10 years. And also at 43, postpartum, perimenopausal, like heavier than I've ever been. I'm like, this is going to be like, you know, swimming against the tide. So I was like, I'm going to just take the plunge. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do all the research, do all the, and go on Ozempic. So I did, weighed up the pros and cons. There's lots of risks. And I was like, look, at this stage, my chances of you know, coronary heart disease or cancer or a whole plethora of other weight related medical problems are actually really high. I'm high risk for all these things now. I have two young babies and I need to have some personal accountability. That's beyond what I've been doing so far, but what I've done hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So I took the plunge, went to thing, and I've done it very properly. Like, so I went on the drugs, followed all the you know, advice.
Logical.
Yeah.
Been to the gym. You started off very slowly, didn't you?
Very slowly, for months, like 3 months on the really low dose. Then
nothing happened, didn't it? Not
fuck all. Like, yeah. I mean, I lost a few pounds, but like, I mean, I've lost more pounds having a fart, like, to be fair. So, like, you know, and then at about 3 months, I was like, this just all just started falling off, but very slowly. It was like a pound or two. And then I was like, there's another round, there's another round, there's another round. And all of a sudden, I lost 50 pounds.
Wow.
50 pounds. So how, for the stones people, it's about 3 stone, I think. 3 stone.
What's that and kilos?
About 20 something kilos, 25 okay. kilos. Okay. Lost 50 pounds and was like, oh my God, I feel amazing.
How long did it take you to lose 50 pounds?
About a year.
Okay.
All in, like okay. about a year.
And what dosage were you on at that point?
Oh, the 1 mg. So the most.
So you started up. Dose. You started off on 2.5.
2.5 for about 3 months.
You titrate up every.
Yeah, 0.5 and then up to the 1 mg.
And your GP in Galway are giving you this, right?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
went in and had the chats with her.
Great chats. She's a brilliant GP. Yeah. And I then had to go and hustle in pharmacies. And then,
tell us about the hustle.
So the pharmacies, at the early stage, like, so pharmacies weren't giving it to anybody. Yeah. There's still, it's still a huge issue. There's also still a big issue with GPs who aren't giving it to people. Like, GPs are like, we're not just going on a diet. And they're like, oh, listen, oh Jesus. Anyhow, so I ended up having to sit down with my pharmacist and say, look, you need to give this to me. I've had blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so she was actually a sound pharmacist and was like, Rand, I'll hook you up. And that was the end of it. So I went there every month and I was...
You had to have the chats though, right?
Well, and I think people chats. Because I went 3 or 4 times and they'd be like, sorry, we don't have any. Sorry, we don't have any. And I get the judgy kind of thing. And there was a big thing for a long time. The supply issue is kind of, you know, isn't as bad now. But for a while, there was people who were on it, diabetics as well, by the way, going around and like having to hustle to get this drug in pharmacies.
Yeah.
What happened was the HPRA or the Irish Medical Council, one of them had sent around a thing saying...
A memo.
Yeah, basically, due to global shortages of Ozempic, you are only to give it to your diabetic patients. Now,
and did they not say
also a priority, basically,
as a priority? And they also said if you see a patient,
yeah, taking it for not
taking it. If a patient comes in with a prescription and you have suspicions over their,
you should report their GP.
You should report the GP. Like, it's
so. Can I just have a rant about this? Like, it's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah,
firstly.
Outrageous.
Who the fuck do the HPRA think they are telling people? No, I know they're the HPRA, but hang on. They're not somebody's GP. They don't understand what somebody is medically being, you know, given a prescription drug for by their qualified doctor.
Right.
Number one. Number two, obesity is a chronic illness. Diabetes is a chronic illness. Yep. Both of them are reversible by diet and exercise. So why is one chronic illness prioritized?
Well, not diabetes type 1.
Type 2 is.
Type 2, yeah.
Type 2 is. But also, there's 20 other drugs available for diabetics. 20.
Yeah.
How many is there available for weight loss? 0.
Well, at the moment. Okay, so right, okay.
So,
can we get
anyway,
off the...
Back to the back off the high horse.
Yeah.
So anyway, my experience of it was amazing. Yeah. All amazing. All positive.
Did you not have any side effects?
I did. The only side effects that I have, and it's only kind of, again, now I'm kind of suppose coming up for air and processing it a little bit.
Yeah.
Also because I've done so many goddamn entries, I'm like thinking about things. I'm like, oh, actually, that actually was a thing. So a couple of months in, 6 or 7 months in, I remember ringing up the pharmacist and saying, here, listen, have you been sold some kind of fake batch of Ozempic? And she was like, no, like we buy it off, like straight from the supplier or whatever. And I was like, are you sure? Because I have heart palpitations and anxiety that is absolutely, I mean, through the roof. And I'm pretty sure that it's because I'm like, I've just come off a drug, basically. And they're like, no, there's nothing wrong with them. And I was like, all right. And it's only recently, because I've listened to another issue with somebody else, I was like, oh, that totally clicks at me. So one of the reasons, or I now understand, when you understand why you eat, you have disordered eating. It's not an eating disorder, disordered eating. It's normally for a reason. So some people eat out of boredom. Some people eat to soothe themselves. Some people eat to cover anxiety. Some people do it because they, you know, had some sexual trauma and they don't want to be attractive. There's loads of reasons why people eat.
You're eating because you're hungry.
Everybody eats because they're hungry. You know, but my thing was, like, I was never not hungry and I was never full. I never, ever felt full. In my whole life, I don't think I ever felt full. And I could eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And that off switch, I never really experienced it. Mm-hmm. So, but
I don't think you have an off switch in general.
I don't really, with anything really in life. Like, it's kind of just everything is.
You're on, baby.
Yeah, it's all or nothing. And what's been really interesting is that whatever your reason for getting to the point where you are with your weight.
Yes.
Ozempic is not going to cure that reason, but it will, and actually it does the opposite. It brings it right up to the surface and you can't actually ignore it. You can't deny it.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
So like, it's coming at you.
It's coming at you. And people don't realize. Yeah. So it's not like, that's the whole, I think that's the discovery that everyone's learning now, is that it's not just a drug for your gut. It's also a drug that changes your mind. Like,
because, when they've done scans, like brain scans, they can show Ozempic in your brain and it's all over your brain.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
because you've GPL-1 receptors, which is basically the satiety receptor in your tummy, right? Which is obviously your tummy saying, I'm full, stop eating. But you also have GPL-1 receptors in your brain. They've discovered you have GPL-1 receptors in your brain and it's your reward zone and that's what they're knocking out. So now they're discovering the Ozempic, the uses of Ozempic.
Which is what you experience, which is the zero reward zone. I have found that maybe I've suffered anxiety for years. I don't actually know really, but I unbeknownst to myself, pick at food, completely unbeknownst to myself. I think it's just a self-soothing thing.
I think, because I've worked sitting on the same desk as you for years, is that you have a thing that you need to be, always have something in your mouth.
Consuming something.
Yeah.
Oh, lols.
No, but you're always sucking on a pen. You're always eating cream. You're always doing something. You're always slurping tea. Like,
that's probably anxiety related. Yeah.
Possibly. Or maybe I don't know if it's back to the breastfeeding thing, like they say children get comfort from sucking, you know, and that's why smoking was a thing as well, you know, people like the sucking action.
I do also think actually the smoking, and I was thinking about this the other day, we grew up in a house full of smokers, it was gross, but we both gave up many, many years ago, but I remember when I gave up smoking, never feeling like a meal was over, because I used to eat and then light up, and then I'd feel like that was the end, that marked the punctuation of the end of a meal. And then when I stopped smoking, I didn't feel like the meals were ever punctuated, so I'd always like just tip away at things. So one of the other positive side effects, I suppose, of Ozempic, which not only I but many others have experienced, is that Ozempic definitely helps people with those kind of addiction problems. So they're now saying,
I'm not sure if it helps them. As I just said, you have to deal with them, like, because you're kind of saying, right, why can't I relax here?
Your reward center or your pleasure from like the drink or from whatever, but they're saying for other things as well, like sex addiction, gambling,
any addiction,
shopping, like just that whole the need for more.
Yeah,
that void that people have where they need to fill the void is dulled.
100%. And now they're doing experiments now using it in addiction centers in micro doses. And they're also doing loads of experiments using it for other things like inflammatory diseases,
dementia?
No.
Well, they actually think that dementia and Alzheimer's is actually the type 3 diabetes of our generation. And actually, they're now starting to do research into Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm like, what's the word for that again?
Using GLP-1, version of it.
Well, yeah, because so they think it's all to do with like our receptors for insulin resistance. Anyway, it's complicated.
But it also is receptors for, my friend were laughing. She was like, "What is wrong with you?" And she was like, "You're on the anti-crack drugs, aren't you?" And I'm like, "I am on the anti-crack drugs." And
somebody else said that.
She knew. She was like, she's a doctor as well. So she was like, "You're on the anti-crack drugs." She was like, "Look at me going drinking a glass of wine like I was pregnant." And she was like, "What are you?" And she was like,
"You're not supposed to drink wine when you're pregnant, by the way." Another thing, Liz is definitely getting cancelled today.
No, but you know when you drink a glass of wine and you're pretending to people you're not pregnant and you're sipping it and pretending you're drinking it. I was doing that in her house and she's a doctor and she was like, "You're on the anti-crack drugs." And she was like, I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "You're on the Ozempic." And I was like, "Yeah, she calls them the anti-crack drugs."
Yeah,
and she had the same experience. She was like, "It is the anti-crack." And she was like, "You don't want the ride. You don't want the wine. You don't want fucking anything. You are the anti-crack." You know? Yeah. So, and that was the other thing we were talking about. You said you weren't into the old riding either.
I definitely feel like it's
Or does that just coincide with having a new baby and you just couldn't be bothered?
Yeah, and I feel like I do think that whole perimenopause thing is creeping in me, though. Like, my ability to find words.
I think you are just hanging
words.
Around with too many people who are talking about menopause.
Fucking menopause.
You've convinced yourself.
Hanging around you too long.
You've convinced yourself you have menopause and you don't.
Jesus, you're going to be like one of those ones. I'm going to be part of the statistic Halle Berry was talking about, like these women going, I have all these symptoms. And they're like, there's nothing wrong with you, you're grand. Have you ever heard of the expression body dysphoria?
No.
So you've heard of body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
So we all know what body dysmorphia is. Like, you're a size 18 and you feel like you're a size 8, or conversely, you're a size 8 and you think you're massive.
Yeah.
There's
Botox dysmorphia as well, and you think you need more.
You have fucking Botox dysmorphia.
Yeah, go back to your body thing.
Body dysphoria.
Yeah.
This is you. I'm diagnosing Liz Dwyer with body dysphoria.
This is from your medical degree, is it?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Go on.
So body dysphoria is all about when you just dislike the number on the scale. You just don't like.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you just don't. You don't like where you're at.
No.
But there's nothing wrong with you.
No.
Like, you're, for all intents and purposes, considered completely fine, normal, and healthy.
Yeah.
You're healthy.
Yes.
So when you are, I mean, beating yourself up and trying to get to a number on a scale, that essentially is body dysphoria. You're unhappy with
your body. And it can totally change my mood. If I get on the scale and I'm like 10.7, I'm like, woohoo, let's go.
So that's body dysphoria.
Yeah.
So you're being, and I think.
Okay, what's the cure for that now? Stealing is there a cure?
But I was thinking about, like, when I was talking to a doctor about this yesterday, and then I was like, every fucking woman I know has body dysphoria.
And men, not just women.
I know, but I think, like, particularly it, like, you know, we've been reading magazines for years.
We
built a business on beauty. Yeah. For, like, the whole point of these beauty things, if none of us had body dysphoria, we'd all be delighted with ourselves. We'd all have hairy armpits, and, you know, we wouldn't be arsed with makeup.
Yeah, but can I tell you, this is not an our generation thing. This has been, like, there's been diet drugs for millennia. Yeah. Like, one of the earlier diet drugs was, like, they...
Have you never done any other diet drugs? I've done them all.
No, but I'm not talking about our generation. I'm talking about, like, 150 years
ago.
In the war, there was these people working in a dynamite factory, and they noticed that they were all getting really skinny, right? And then, so the Americans or some pharma company were like, why are the people getting skinny from the dynamite? Or some kind of bomb factory, right? And then they were absorbing the bomb material into
and it was making them skinny.
So then they turned it into a diet pill, and then everyone, like, actually, like, started imploding and burning from
within. And then there's amphetamines.
There was amphetamines in the 70s. That was a big deal, the amphetamines. And then they were mixing the amphetamines with appetite suppressants. Yeah. So, like, we're, like, going on as if Ozempic's the first ever diet drug that's ever
No, but it is the first ever successful diet drug.
Well, we don't know that yet. And then they're saying all of these other drugs, you know, like, Jesus, like, we've all seen the Netflix documentaries on, like, you know, the crisis in America with fentanyl and the painkillers and everything. And, you know, they was all like, you know, remember that? I always think, like, you going on about the Ozempic, I started to just freak out going, oh my God, is Nikki going to be like that guy who, you know, they come along to and say, oh, you've had such a successful time on our drug. Will you be one of our poster people? And they give him money. And then, like, you know, fast forward 5 years later and his eyeballs have fallen out. You know what I mean? So it kind of worries me sometimes that, like,
enough to not fucking take it.
I know.
I love you. I love the absolute hypocrisy.
We do need to talk about the fact that you've plateaued on the
I've totally clip. Plateaued.
Yeah.
But that is to be expected. So most people lose about 10%.
And not only have you plateaued, you've just gone and acquired yourself a prescription for Mounjaro, which is the other drug. So you're leveling up.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on.
High horse over there, little miss. I do go Ozempic, right?
Roll
now
back
she's
there.
Like going, roll back. It's not working anymore. I'm going on Mounjaro.
No.
Yeah.
So... I'm lying through your
near your teeth.
I wish these are all natural, unlike you.
Full of shit. Anyway, Mounjaro, tell us about Mounjaro and why you've plateaued.
So I've plateaued, but everyone will plateau.
Yes.
And it's not that the drug is no longer working. It's just I don't have any more weight to really lose.
Well, why are you going on Mounjaro then?
I'm not. I don't know if I am.
You're such a liar.
No, I genuinely don't know if I am.
You literally just told me coming in, you're going to get it. Courier down.
No, I didn't. I said, that's how you get it. I didn't say I was going to do it. I don't know if I'll get it. So Mounjaro is the next one, which deals with. So GLP-1 deals with one gut hormone.
Yes.
And Mounjaro deals with two, basically.
So GLP-1 is Ozempic, Saxenda, and what's the other one? Wegovy.
Wegovy.
But they're all in different. Yeah, yeah. They're moderately slightly
they're all
different.
Kind of the same.
It's like Nurofen would be an ibuprofen, but then you've got Nurofen Plus, and you've got the pieces in it.
Yeah,
but different. Now you have like, and let's say Mounjaro would be like the Diphene in the anti-inflammatory family. Jesus, I'm not a pharmacist. I'm so going to be cancelled. But anyway, so tell us about your going on to the Mounjaro.
I don't know if I am.
Everyone says Mounjaro is hardcore.
I know. I genuinely don't know if I am though. So, like, I had a very good conversation with, like, I suppose an expert in this yesterday. And the whole thing is that everybody will plateau on Ozempic because...
At what point do you plateau? When you've lost 15%?
Well, I suppose actually they say when your body is at...
set point.
Yeah, kind of a set point. And actually, so if you look at my ups and downs over the years, I'm actually at around the weight that I always come back to.
Okay, so you're
ironically
at your set point.
Yeah.
And you want to push that now, do you, with the Mounjaro?
Well, I don't know if I do. So I know you're laughing at me, but I'm genuinely sitting on the fence about it because... Once you go on to the next one. So if you come off Ozempic, this is the thing that people really need to discuss.
Have you come off it? You have come off it.
I have come off it, yeah.
A few times.
Yeah.
Out of supply issues as well, right?
Once or twice out of supply. And then recently because, I mean, I suppose, like, again, like I'm going to get cancelled now, but I suppose I was playing with it a bit to see what would happen if I came down off it and then went back up on it.
Would it work? A lot of the people were saying that you do, you know, you build up a tolerance. So you to get your
there's no proof, no study that supports that.
No, but it's so new.
It's not new. It's around 20 years.
Yeah, but as a weight loss drug, it's only been licensed in the last three years, 4 years.
I don't know. I can't remember.
It's very new in the last 3 or 4 years.
But my point is that. Mounjaro, yes, it's the next level. And they say, so average person on Ozempic loses around 10 to 12% of the body fat. And then the average person on Mounjaro loses 15 to 20%.
And then there's a new one coming. Yeah, what's it called?
I can't remember
something
the name.
Something like six.
But it's got three of the gut hormones.
Yeah, that's coming out next year. It's a cool name, actually.
I know, but they all come with a whole other... Like, I don't really like taking prescription drugs at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so I mean, and the thing is, you're looking at, this is not a quick fix, right? You're looking at probably being on this for the best part of your life.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. It's kind of scary.
So for people who have disordered
eating, though you've plateaued, are you still expected to stay on it?
Yeah, because if I come off it, right?
Yeah, what will happen?
I could go back up to where... Well,
can we talk about some of the other side effects, right?
Yes.
Before we go into the... So there is... Like,
some,
I mean, the obvious
ones.
Like, from a completely vanity point of view,
And
this really happened to you, is the hair loss.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about it. So the vanity, there's 12 major ones. Actually, they're not on the 12 major ones.
Anybody who loses any weight, regardless of how they do it, serious. And, like, hair loss is a really big part of bariatrics. You know, people have bariatric surgery. They tend to lose chunks of hair.
You lost, your hair went to shit.
Went to shit. But again, postpartum as well. So it's kind of hard to know what was the cause. Anyway, but like it's definitely on a journey to kind of come back.
But loads of people report that.
Loads of people lose
hair. It gets really like...
But the most significant one.
Yeah.
And I think the most frightening one, because the major cohort of people are taking this drug are actually women in their 40s to 50s.
Is it?
That's the kind of number one cohort. And then it's like, it goes, anyway, whatever. So, but those women in their 40s to 50s are at the early, like the premenopausal grade or whatever, their muscle mass is starting to drop off anyhow.
Yes.
And then once you hit your 50s, you start to, your muscle decline happens really rapidly. So what you do for your body in your 40s, for your muscle mass in your 40s, dictates the quality of your life for your 50s, 60s and 70s, right? So your 40s for women is particularly important for muscle mass.
Yeah.
So if you're taking a drug that decreases your muscle mass along with your fat masses, you're at risk of muscle sarcopenia, muscle loss, osteoporosis, blah, 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 blah. So in order to counteract that, you must lift weights.
I know.
You must take protein.
Strength training, I mean, if you were doing that anyway, would you lose weight?
I was doing it right.
If you removed the Ozempic from the equation and you just started doing weights and eating loads more protein and a nutrient-rich diet, which they do anyway, would you lose weight?
No, because I've been doing it for years.
All right, okay.
So, but do you know what I did notice? When I was at my absolute tiniest, which was around Christmas time this year, there's a photo of me in my bikini in Lanzarote and I was like, jeez, don't you look fucking great? I slighted myself. Yeah. And there's another photo, sideways profile photo, And like, I have this pancake flat ass.
Got my ass now.
And I have always had a good ass. I've had like a bad belly and whatever over the years, but I've always had a good ass from like cycle and I, you know, run and I do whatever. And I was like, right, I need to address that. So I definitely, my muscle mass like disappeared.
Yeah. And also then obviously you get, you've been okay because... Mm. But a lot of people got the Ozempic face because they're saying that you're not just your muscle mass, but you're the fat that you lose from Ozempic is slightly different. And it's like, it's not just the regular adipose fat that it loses in your tissue. So it actually does accelerate facial aging. And like, that's not anecdotal. That's like actual.
Yeah, 100%. Fat. Yeah. And like, I've been doing stuff all for the last 2 years, all the regenerative stuff, but going mad for lasers, mad for microneedling, mad for polynucleotides, Profilo, anything to kind of try and restore or like, you know, maintain my face before, you know, I don't think I've definitely got the neck sag, you know, but I mean, like, that's the price I have to pay for it. That's the price I have to pay for it. But what I would like to say here, because no one is discussing this, is, and we'll be having this conversation in 3 years and people will be like, oh, I can't believe that's the conversation. There's two types of fat loss. So this is not new, but it's new for Ozempic, right? So there is good fat loss and bad fat loss.
Yeah.
And so you can still lose weight and still be skinny fat.
Yeah. You mean like the fat on your organs?
Yeah. Adipose fat, versus like...
So do you lose that as well in Ozempic?
Yeah, all the fat. But if you don't change your lifestyle and your diet, you still will have your organs will still be at risk.
Okay. So the moral of the story is, if you're going to take it, you're supposed to do it Nikki's way, not Liz's way.
Yeah, but like, I actually think
but like, not many people are like you.
I'm being
like, I think there's more people like me, I genuinely think, in the world who want a quick, fast,
not according to the statistics. According to the statistics of this country, of Ireland, 70% of our population are overweight, and of that 70%, half of them are obese. So 2/3 of our country need to take this for medical reasons.
And apparently in America they did.
And you're in the 1/3.
And they were like, 47% of Americans want to take Ozempic. Isn't that mental? Yeah. It was so
It's very expensive in America. It's like $500 or $600 a month.
Do you get it covered under insurance?
No, they
it's
don't.
It's still expensive here, by the way. It's 185 quid, like a vial, a 1 mL vial. And that's like...
That's for a month,
That's for a month. What if you're on more? Like, if you're on, can you go more than one? Okay, so it's like, and you don't get it covered under the HSE, or do you?
No, and it should be covered under the HSE. Yeah. Like, they're literally preventing, you know, we have such a major problem coming at us in the healthcare system in Ireland. Like, so they reckon in a decade from now, type 2 diabetes will be the most prevalent disease in this country. Mm. Cardiovascular, well, the number one cause of death for women in their 50s in Ireland is cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease for men, overweight men, is the number one killer in Ireland as well. I mean, there should be a fucking dose in the whole country.
No, you can't say that.
I know. I am being...
Is there any reoccurring questions you kept getting asked? Where can you get it?
Where can I get it?
Where can you get it?
Why won't my GP give it to me?
Yeah, that's the number one question.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I was speaking to a doctor about this yesterday, and I asked him, I said, when you did your medical degree, how much training did you have on weight loss? And he said, a whole total of 0 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero.
Yeah, they're given the food pyramid, aren't they?
Yeah, so basically given a food pyramid, which basically says grains, eat grains, at the bottom of the food pyramid. Have carbohydrates. Well, fucking genius.
I think they've changed the food pyramid. Slightly.
But like, my point is that much like menopause 5 years ago, a GP didn't know what to do with a menopause person. They now are all well up on the meno.
But is it going to be like the COVID vaccine? Do you remember we were all like clawing each other's eyes out to be first in line for the COVID vaccine? Then we all got it. Now no one wants it, you know? And it's like, you know, and also now everyone's coming out saying, you know.
But the thing is.
All the anti-vaxxers are like, they're vilified now going, we're right. There's all sorts of problems.
Yeah, but the thing is, this drug works, right? And the thing that people.
Yeah, but so does the COVID vaccine, but there's also loads.
It doesn't. I had COVID 4 times and I was vaccinated, so it doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, but in terms of, oh my God, let's not get into a COVID argument, right? Let's stick to the Ozempic. But my point is, you know, Novo Nordisk are building a giant factory.
Like Maynooth in Ireland.
Yeah, in Ireland. Yeah. Massive production factory here. And I think they're, in terms of, the people who make COVID. And would you say Eli Lilly are bringing in the new one? They're bringing Mounjaro and then one of the other Johnsons.
Trizepatide, or I can't remember the name of it, but it's got three.
So all of the pharma companies are in a race now, with the vaccine, to bring out quicker, faster. And like, do you think we'll all be over it? Or do you think we're just going to get...
No, because I think obesity is the crisis
of our generation.
It's the crisis of our generation. And we don't even understand. So 40 years ago, we didn't have any obese people. It was less than 4% of our population was obese. Yeah. And now 70% of our population
is
obese. 70% is overweight.
Overweight.
And of that, 30, half of those people are obese.
Mm.
But like, I'm actually technically still considered to be overweight.
Are you?
Yeah.
What are you now?
Like my BMI is 26 or 27. So I'm just on the cusp of overweightness, but I was just on the cusp of obesity.
Okay.
So, I mean, like technically speaking, you know, I was definitely on the obese side of things.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Any other common questions you're getting asked?
Just the usual side effects and stuff like that. Like I had to laugh. And I was,
what about the fake Ozempic? Really briefly, let's talk about that.
Very briefly.
Yeah.
Please don't do it. Just please don't do it. Yeah. You don't know what you're putting into your body. Like I heard some horror story that people were being sold these fake Ozempic pants. And
in beauticians. A lot of beauticians are selling them.
Well,
yeah.
I got a DM literally the other day from a beauty salon up in Newry who said, I can send you... I shouldn't do the accent because I'm not very good at it. I can send you Ozempic in the post.
Yeah.
And then I read through it and they're like Ozempic pills. And I was like, what the fuck are they even sending?
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's some pill that has been used for diabetics. It is a GLP-1 pill.
Yes.
But GLP-1 is not absorbable via the stomach. So it works for insulin resistance for diabetics, but it doesn't work for weight loss.
Okay.
So they're basically selling me, and then the whole swizz was, and then we'll enroll you in this 6-week protocol where you're getting support and you're enrolled in part of a community and this, that, and the other. And I said, that's a fucking disgrace. They're preying on people. And then the other side of it is like people, I get it.
What about in the UK? I know a lot of people getting it from the UK. Like they go online.
Yeah.
They go to GP services online.
Yeah.
And they
order it and then they...
And because the doctor can't see you, you just say, oh, I'm 5 foot, right?
Yeah.
And then you say,
and
I'm my whatever. And they can't really see you other than your face. Mm-hmm. So they can't actually... you know, justify it. So you just lie in your form and then they give you the prescription. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people are doing that. Or, you know, people like me, if you're on holidays, you're chancing your arm in a foreign country. Yeah. And going, can I have some Ozempic, please? And they courier to hold hotel room.
Like, I think that's going to be the problem in the market. And also, like, the TikTok madness is that, like, all these young ones are, like, going on diets and they're using it to go on diets. So it's like, you know, the younger generation. But, like, and I get that. And look, that's where the bad side of this is. And we probably need to shine a bit of light on it. But like,
we don't have time.
But the other flip side of it is, right? If you are morbidly or chronically obese and you cannot get your hands on this drug.
Yes.
You're on a waiting list for bariatric surgery in this country for up to 6 years.
Yeah.
And can I tell you what that means for somebody with
a death sentence?
It's literally a death sentence.
Yeah.
And in a 6-year period, the amount of other chronic diseases and comorbidities that they'll get if they make it.
Yeah.
If they make it to get a major surgery, it's phenomenal. So, I mean, for access.
So, what's the overall, if we have to like summarize?
The overall thing is this drug is not without its risks. It's not without its side effects.
Many, many risks.
Many, many risks. And we didn't even touch on the real serious ones like pancreatitis and thyroid problems and blah, 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 blah. But I think, on balance, the risks of serious health problems, if you suffer from disordered eating or obesity, are outweighed by the benefits. That's my take home from it. That's my own personal opinion though. So
my take home is that it was a fucking horrible 6 weeks, but it like it was a means to an end. Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah.
So on that note,
that's the audience
skinny bitches later.
Okay, we've rambled on for so long, we've only got time for like one or two really quick listener questions this week. So apologies. Ed, hit us up. What have we got? Go.
Here we go.
Hi, girls. Love the pod. Just messaged. I have these 3 deep lines on my chest, and during the summer, they get very prominent, and I'm just kind of sick of them. I was considering Botox, but I'm not too sure. I love wearing deep V-neck tops, and I'm just getting confused. I'm just overwhelmed, and I just don't know what to do with anymore. I was wondering if you guys have any advice for me. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. I got them as well. So do really I. Annoying.
And?
Yeah.
Mine are gone.
Are you, wait, what did you do again?
Polynucleotides.
Yeah, you did polynucleotides.
Which is the salmon sperm, basically.
Yeah, you did a salmon sperm facial.
So
did you just do one or
just
2?
Just my neck.
Just did your neck?
Yeah, because I have the big boobs and then when I lie on my side, I get the big lines.
Yeah.
Which drives me fucking bananas.
Yeah.
So I, Carmelita down in Galway, aesthetic nurse down in Galway, gave me polynucleotides in my chest. The
injectables. Injectable, yeah. Just one go. One shot.
Just one go.
And it worked.
Gone.
Okay, and have you had any laser treatment done on your chest?
Oh, I have, but not. It's for sun damage, which is, I could do a little
see,
bit more.
See, that actually is another big thing around that area, because I don't think people, often women are wearing makeup on your face and your neck, and you're not wearing it on your chest, and your chest gets exposed, you know. And it's very delicate skin there, so it can kind of age quite quickly as well.
I'm looking at you, you have them.
Yeah, I do have them now. And I actually, what I do is...
And actually, the bigger your boobs, the deeper the wrinkles.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, because you're like, it's that.
Yeah.
You know?
From squishing at night.
Yeah, because I would be lying on your side.
No, you're not. Someone's squishing your boobs. Woo woo! I have tried, I did Profilo body, and actually it was really effective. Again, short term fix. I got like maybe 6 months out of it. And then once upon a time, I got a mixture of Profilo and Botox together, like a cocktail of Botox. Two of them. Yeah, Botox, and it tightens up the whole area. But I think, again, these are all surface treatments. You're only going to get 6-7 months out of them. I mean, probably the best thing to do would be to go and go hell for laser with the Secret Pro or a CO2 laser.
Totally resurface it.
Resurface the whole thing, yeah.
It's pretty hardcore though.
It is pretty hardcore. But like, as I said, polynucleotides, regenerative.
Yeah.
And Profilo for kind of...
Yeah, probably radio frequency microneedling as well. It would definitely...
Yeah, but that's like kind of your long-term fix. But if you
I have had radio frequency microneedling here. And let me tell you, it is... I mean, like jumping off the bed painful because there's bone, a lot of bone there.
Yeah, there's a lot of bone there.
So yes, you can do it, but it's bloody painful.
And that is all we have time for this week. Next week, we'll be back with the fantastic Catherine Thomas, giving us all her beauty tricks and tips and probably making us run around feckin' Stephen's Green 500 times.
Yeah. We should have had her on for our Ozempic chat.
That's if we haven't been sued and cancelled by next week. So see you all back here then.
By the way, if you do enjoy this episode and you enjoy Liz and I, please will you... subscribe on your wherever you listen to your podcast, because it really helps with our algorithm, which allows us to
keep going. And also follow us on Instagram and send us DMs on our, we have our WhatsApp there on our Instagram. You can send us voice messages.
This week's episode was with special thanks to our sponsors, Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
Okay, over and out. Goodbye. See you next week.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.